Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning. Our first scripture passage this morning comes from Psalm chapter 23. I am reading from the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second scripture passage comes from John chapter 10. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father.
Psalm 23 is the only piece of scripture that I have entirely committed to memory. Some of you are probably great at memorizing things. I am not. It took a lot of work for me to memorize this passage to the point where I didn't forget any of the lines, and I did get them all in the right order. But working in hospice, it became apparent that it should be the passage that I had figuratively in my back pocket. For a while, I did literally carry it around with me because so many people asked to hear it, and it always seemed kind of awkward to pull it out of my bag and read it. No, it became clear to me that I needed to hold people's hands and look them in the eyes, even if their eyes were failing or closed, in order to pray this psalm with them. And it also became clear that really there is no other version of the 23rd psalm to be had than the King James Version. You know me well enough now to know that I don't usually say anything this definitive, and I don't go to the King James Version for much else. But I have come to embrace my rather rigid stance on this. If you're going to pray the 23rd psalm, the King James Version is the best way to do it. And while I feel as if I've always known the 23rd Psalm from my early days of childhood and Sunday school, there was something about committing it to memory that allowed it to settle even more securely in my heart and spirit and faith. I found I would pray it here and there and everywhere, not just as a part of my ministry, with hospice patients, but as a part of my life. And I trust that many of you also have a history with this psalm, that you can tell a story about your own learning of it and your relationship to it. It is known, well known, to so many in the Jewish and Christian faith. And there's something powerful in remembering that it was known and loved by so many generations that have come before us as well. Our ancestors, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, most likely held and cherished these verses close to their hearts and spirits. Perhaps they recited them out loud in their faith communities, or prayed them with their children at bedtime, or just whispered them quietly in their own times of prayer or want or hope or need. And not only can we go back to our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents when remembering those who knew and cherished this psalm, we can also go all the way back to Jesus. These words from the Hebrew scripture are most certainly words that traveled with him throughout his earthly journey. And we can only wonder, imagine, when and how these phrases bubbled up for him as hope or encouragement or solace along his way. I've mentioned this before, but one of the things I suggested to folks in hospice who found themselves struggling in their faith was, instead of trying to formulate an entirely systematic theology to understand the breadth and depth of all Christian thought and belief, was to instead name and hold fast to the one or two beliefs or phrases or images that served as anchors for them, strong anchors. They didn't need to be complicated, just something that they knew for certain, something they could hold on to. Maybe just the idea that God is love, or the image of the cross, or a verse or two of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But to find one or two anchors that would ground them, hold them fast in the midst of the uncertainty or fear that might buffet them. And often, very often, these words from Psalm 23 and the rich images that accompany them serve as key anchors for so many of us, for people of faith, past and present. And we may engage them and hold them in all kinds of different ways. Some of us will cling to the most traditional form of this psalm, the good old King James Version, my favorite, as I mentioned. But there are all kinds of art and music that has emerged from this beloved psalm as well. And some of us will gravitate to and explore those expressions. But traditional or contemporary, the power of this psalm is transcendent, I believe, and each expression can ground us, anchor us for the living of our days. If you'd like to hear a more contemporary expression of Psalm 23, I'd invite you to use the link on our webpage to hear and view Bobby McFerrin's version of Psalm 23. You may be most familiar with McFerrin as the writer of the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, but he has a vast array of other music, and one of those pieces is a version of the 23rd Psalm in which he talks about God using the feminine pronoun. In interviews, he shared about his deep religious life and how he came to more fully understand the love of God through the women in his life, his mother and his wife, that being the inspiration for this piece. It's a moving song and worth a few minutes of your time. And if you do listen to it, you'll notice that it's definitely not the King James Version. It'll fall differently on your ears. But for me, it still anchors me, as the 23rd Psalm always does, in whatever form, And perhaps it'll do that for you too. So the 23rd Psalm anchors us as Christians, not only as we receive it through Hebrew scripture, but also as we understand it through the lens of our Christian faith. Not only do we have a divine shepherd, but Jesus is his name. Our passage from John's Gospel reminds us that Jesus, steeped in Hebrew scripture, used these words about himself. I am the good shepherd. And here the word good doesn't mean skilled or indicate a job well done. He's not giving himself a pat on the back. Good job, Jesus. No, the word good means something more akin to true or genuine. I am the true shepherd. I am the genuine shepherd. Now, I have to acknowledge that there's an implication here that we're the sheep, which some of us may be fine with and others of us may balk at a little bit. But really, I think it's not altogether awful to be sheep. They've gotten a bad rap. I remember reading something once that said it was cow farmers who started the rumor that sheep were dumb, when in truth, sheep are just different. Cows are moved from behind. You get behind cows to push them forward. Sheep, on the other hand, like to follow. If you get behind a bunch of sheep, they'll just reposition themselves to get behind you. They're not dumb. They just move in different ways. They need a trustworthy shepherd to get out in front of them, to guide them in and through the journey ahead. And we indeed are a lot like that. We need a trustworthy, a true, a genuine shepherd to lead us. Truth be told, past and present, there are other shepherds of all shapes and sizes, things and people and forces that can lead us astray, away from paths of love and peace, mercy and righteousness. We need a good shepherd, a true shepherd, one who genuinely loves and cares for the flock to guide us through pastures and paths and valleys of our lives. So we as Christians hold on to these anchoring words from Psalm 23, knowing that Jesus is that shepherd, the one we know to be trustworthy and true, the one who knows us and cares for the flock, even unto laying down his life to protect and to save us. So how do these anchoring words and images and beliefs companion us in our lives? How do they make a difference? I trust that you know on some level based on your own life experience. But we can also look back at the generations that have gone before us and see the difference that anchoring words and beliefs have made. We can see how people stayed anchored in their faith through all kinds of turning points in history, moments that stood still, that became before and after moments for the people who lived through them. And by that I mean those moments where life was one way before that moment and always different after. I'm sure that we can think of such moments in history, good and bad moments, like the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Apollo moon landing, the assassinations of JFK and Martin Luther King Jr., the legalization of gay marriage, the Vietnam War, the fall of the Berlin Wall, 9/11, the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings. The list could go on and on. And generations before us have moved through such critical times, times of profound shifts and transitions in their communal life, on top of the shifts and transitions in their personal lives that were taking place as well. They've moved through such moments by holding on to their anchors, maybe whispering, maybe praying, maybe shouting some of these anchoring words. The Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. my cup overfloweth. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They are words, beliefs, images that have sustained people in so many different times and through so many different circumstances. And I have no doubt that we can all think of some of these before and after moments in our own lives, moments around which everything changed. Some might be joyful events, like the birth or adoption of a child, and others might be devastating times, like the death of a loved one. Either way, they become defining moments in our lives. And in addition to our personal before and after moments, we share some communal ones as well. Some we've already mentioned. Many of us have memories of and have lived through those times. But some of those moments we're still in the midst of. COVID-19, for example. This pandemic will one day be a before and after moment for all of us. But for now, we're still slogging through it. It also seems true that we're living in a time of extraordinary struggle and opportunity related to racial justice. I'm so thankful to Adam and Eric, who are leading our Monday night study on Jamar Tisby's book, How to Fight Racism, and to the folks who have chosen to be a part of this learning and conversation. It is not an easy issue to deal with. It is not a simple process to address the insidiousness of white supremacy and the complex reality of racial injustice. Yet as people of faith, how can we not? We are living in the midst of the struggle and opportunity of this extraordinary time. And in addition to that, we're living in the midst of our denominational struggle to rid ourselves of the homophobic and oppressive language and policies that have done violence in body and spirit to LGBTQIA+ folks for decades. We have been through such pivotal before and after moments in the past. We are living through some of those moments in our here and now. And like all the generations before us, there is one who guides and encourages and comforts and cajoles and sustains us. We are reminded today on this Shepherd Sunday that we can hold fast to the beliefs and images and words that anchor and keep us through it all, that remind us that we are known by the God who created us, by the Shepherd who leads us, and by the Spirit who sustains us. Let us know what those anchoring beliefs and images and words are for each one of us. And let us hold fast, hold on tight to them, to God and to each other as we traverse the paths of our lives. Thanks be to God who holds on tight to us now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray together. God of creation, God of our ancestors, God of us all, we thank you for the gift of this day and the opportunity to gather for worship. We thank you for the ways that you faithfully guide us through many different pastures and paths and valleys in our lives. We lift up the strange in-betweenness of this time, as we cannot put COVID-19 entirely behind us, but we see the signs of new life. We feel the shift within and around us. We know that we are moving forward as we find a new normal. Just as you guided those of past generations through all of life's joys and sorrows, so too you have guided and are guiding us through this time. We stand in this unique place in history where our lives, our world, are in deep need of your ongoing guidance. We are making our way through COVID-19. We are trying to face and mend the deep divides between us, divides made complicated by entrenched prejudice based on race, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, able-bodiedness, class, and so much more. Lead us through these efforts with eyes that see one another as beloveds created in your image and hearts that lean toward justice and mercy in all that we say and do. We are deeply grateful for the love with which you hold each one of us. We are grateful to know and be known by you. Shepherd us today and always, inclining our hearts, our spirits, our lives toward you, that we may follow you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.